If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
We're back! Can you believe it? Man, feels like I just talked to you like just yesterday.
Right? It's been forever, Sam. Let's just sit and catch up for a minute.
And we're still matching, by the way. We haven't changed clothes at all. And shocking. For those of you who are unaware, we are being sarcastic because we just recorded the first part of this episode about President Huerta and the legitimacy of his presidency. And now we know that there are massive protests that are happening on Earth because the justices decided to affirm the president's legitimacy of the last year of his term. And also, in doing so, rewrote the legal definition of death in the United North American states. So, Genesis, we've got a big episode to get into. I'm sure we're not going to be drawing any real world political parallels at all.
Oh, yeah, no, especially not since the first one that we're going to talk about is late night comedians weigh in on the Ford v. Huerta case.
Oh, they better be careful. The FCC might come for them. Yeah. Anyway, if you don't like real world political parallels and you fail to see the parallels of the of politics in Mass Effect, I'm not sure what to tell you other than to tell you that sometimes fiction is inspired by real life. So we've got the first part of this. Actually, this whole arc comes from Cerberus Daily News. So if you're wondering where this lore came from because you never saw it in the game, that might be why. We got this dispatch from Cerberus Daily News. It starts, "Late night comedians are weighing in on Ford versus Huerta, the court case that has enough cyborgs, presidents, and controversy to be its own Hollywood blockbuster." I like that. I like that little comedic description there from whoever wrote this for Cerberus Daily News. Cal DiCosimo said, "We're supposed to care that the president was brain dead after his stroke. And what I don't get is that a room full of doctors said he had brain activity before it."
That's
actually a pretty good one. Natasha Lyons targeted the Speaker of the House, Lisa Ford, saying her entire argument is that for the last year, she's wanted to be vice president. "I'm sorry, honey, you don't get out of that working that easily." That's hilarious. And Manny Zuppo gave his analysis. "For the last year, we've had a zombie cyborg president. Why does the speaker want this to end? Every 12-year-old can now go to class and say, my president's just as cool as the Asari."
Okay. One, I'm not quite sure about how the Speaker of the House being called honey. Put some respect on that woman's name. But I get it. It's comedy. So you've got to make a crack at the woman because she's a woman.
Well, it's also Natasha Lyons is the one who said it, right? So I don't know if it will come across different when it's a woman saying honey.
True. I'll give you that. But still. But the 12-year-olds could say that my president is just as cool as the Asari. I like that one.
Yeah. So I'm partial to Cal DeCosimo's, you know, who said he had brain activity before it? Heyo, I get no respect. Yeah. I love these late night comedians like weighing in on different like controversial topics in the Mass Effect universe, because it kind of gives us this window into like, hey, you know, there are normal people in the Mass Effect universe.
Yeah, it really does, because these are exactly the type of jokes that we would hear on, you know, SNL or Letterman or Leno. These, you know, very much appropriate. And I appreciate seeing the lighter side of the controversies and everything like that.
Also following the longstanding tradition that late night comedians comment on politics. They've done it forever.
And just a reminder, all of this information came out in 2010. That's when these articles were written.
Yep. Anyway, maybe they should comment on presidents wearing tan suits. That's an old reference. Pales in comparison to some of the scandals since then. But Genesis, at the same time, while they're having these laughs about the very real situation, there are people who are taking to the streets.
There are. And so in a separate list of Cerberus Daily News articles that came out, these ones are all titled and categorized under mass protests against Ford v. Huerta decision. So kind of shifting the tone back to where we talked earlier about how there were marches on the D.C. Capitol and the Mexico City Capitol. Now we can get back that aspect of it. And the first article that we have here says mobs march on Earth to protest Ford v. Huerta decision. And it reads that mobs on Earth marched today to protest the Systems Alliance's decision to uphold President Huerta's term. Over 1.5 million marched in Washington, D.C., and 2 million in Mexico City. 750,000 in Ottawa, many of them wielding lit torches and pitchforks as a retro political statement. A literal pitchfork wielding mob.
I'm not sure the tiki torches were a tactful decision, and I'm not sure that's the vintage throwback they really want to invoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like it one bit.
But you know what? You know what? I'm sure that there are great people on both sides.
Bringing lit torches and physical weapons to a riot is not a good situation. Please stay safe. That's the key.
Yeah. Overall, extremely unpopular decision from the court. 1.5 million people gathering together to march in Washington, D.C., 2 million in Mexico City, and 750,000 in Ottawa. That has to be setting records, right, for largest political protests.
I would probably agree, because that's what, close to over 4 million people throughout a very large area, but all of them marching together in the same protest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. Proportionally, I don't know if it's huge considering the overall population of whatever the UNAS is at this point. But the fact that many millions of people got together on one day and said, screw my plans, I'm going to go protest and wield torches and pitchforks. It's comically violent. Even so, looks like Capitol Police decided to do their jobs that day. It must not have been in January. They took the bait and they clashed with protesters, right?
Yes, they did. Capitol Police in D.C. took that bait, clashing with the protesters who threw torches into their ranks. 15 protesters and 3 police were injured. Quote, it was rough today, but I'm not worried, said Sergeant Hathaway of the Capitol Police. They seem like the kind of people who bring pitchforks to a gunfight.
I think Sergeant Hathaway's going to work on his humor a little bit because, I mean, that's not like they are the people bringing pitchforks to a gunfight. Like I'm not sure that you should feel proud of the fact that you are able to gun down someone that does not have a gun. Like, that's not the flex that you think it is, Sergeant. However, at the same time, that there were 15 protesters injured among 4 million. No, no, I'm sorry. 1.5 million in DC. Not actually that bad. 15 protesters injured, only 3 officers injured. I'd say that that's actually kind of a tame protest for that size and that charged of a political environment.
It's extremely tame. And the fact that there were no deaths involved, I mean, I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked.
Especially if you're going to throw torches into ranks of officers. Don't do that. I fully support everybody's right to protest. And I think the freedom to do so is the cornerstone of free societies. However, don't throw torches into groups of people in any context. Don't do that at anywhere.
Don't brandish pitchforks at people in any context anywhere.
Yeah. It honestly kind of sounds like that there are sections of the UNAS that are ready to revolt.
Yeah, it definitely sounds that way.
That's how pissed off they are. At the same time, you know, Capitol Police, they are going to uphold the law and order. And kind of sounds like I am very curious about what immediately preceded the clashing with the protesters, right? Were the protesters on their way to a certain government building to interfere with a certain governmental process, you know, that was necessary and otherwise needed to be carried out? You know, what was the necessary nature of this action, right? I don't know. Maybe they were being rowdy. Maybe they were flipping cars. Maybe they weren't. All of those details are incredibly important when trying to make a judgment decision about who was right and who was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that for this first set of riots and marches, we don't have any further information on that. But it is also interesting to know that Washington, D.C. is still the capital of the United States. And presumably there is some form of White House there. Where Huerta may have been working out of, but there are, it is also the fact that Mexico City and Ottawa also are prime capitals for the other countries involved in this, new North American nations. And so it's interesting to think about the fact that maybe the president of this new conglomerate of countries could live in all three. And so that's why they were going to all three locations.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a really interesting point. We don't actually know where President Huerta's from originally. So could be from any one of those regions. The other interesting thing to note here is that what you said, Washington, D.C. is still a capital. It's still a capital even after what we know was the Battle of Washington in, I want to say, like 2096, or maybe it was like early 2100s in the Mass Effect universe. It was tied to what we learned about the Second American Civil War through the Kasumi DLC. After the secessionists blew up the Lady Liberty, the Second American Civil War started. And there was parts of the statue stolen during the Battle of Washington. I think I'm remembering all of that correctly. That's totally off the top of my head. But interesting to note, yes, Washington, D.C., still the capital. And the Capitol Police still exist. So, all right. Well, I think that covers it for this half. This is going to be a shorter episode than normal, but we are double recording this week, so I think it all equals out. with that, Genesis, let's get over to the mid-break because I really want to see where these protests go. It sounds like they're getting more inflammatory. So, all right, with that, let's head over to the middle of the show.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard.
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
All right, here we are in the middle of the show where we read out your 5-star reviews. Now, because we're recording this on the same day, in fact, right after the last episode, we don't have any new reviews that we want to point out yet. But I do want to remind everybody that leaving those reviews really helps the show in terms of searching, in terms of, like, you know, appearing higher in search engines like Google and what have you. It also helps us get promoted whenever Spotify or other platforms do promotions for some of the smaller shows like we have. So leaving those reviews helps more than you know. And short of that, just tell a friend if you want to help help the show, if you like it and you want to tell somebody about it, that helps. If you are able and willing, we are more than appreciative for everyone who signs up for our Patreon, and we try to make it worth it. We try to give people back something of value for doing so. So our patrons get stickers, they get shirts every 4 months, I think it is, or every 3 months. And in fact, speaking of that, Genesis, we need to make some new designs for some new shirts for the Lorecast that can go out.
Yes, that should be very, very interesting, thinking up new designs together and kind of melding our aesthetics. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Some test our graphic design knowledge. That being said, no new patrons since we just shouted out Max Swagster in last episode. But I do want to shout out our Tier 5 patrons again. That's William, Superfly 440, Redrobot, Lieutenant Tosino, Kira C, Edboy, and Day. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the show. And before we get back with the rest of the show, I have a planet card that I want to read because it's particularly relevant. All right, here is Watson. In the, what system is this? In the Sigurd's Cradle, the Skepsis system, Watson is known in human media for two things: its spectacular tides brought on by a large moon, and the bureaucratic snafu over which Earth nations got to settle there first. Watson is a garden world first discovered in 2165 CE, with credit claimed by the Chinese People's Federation, the United North American States, and the European Union. The system's alliance brokered the infamous Reykjavik Compromise, allowing limited colonization from each coalition in cities comprised of populations from each nation. Horrible solution. Watson itself trends colder than Earth, with a temperate zone measuring about 30 degrees latitude in either direction from the equator. Its life does not easily map to Earth's evolutionary eras. Some islands have species that resemble terrestrial placental mammals. Others are overrun by arthropods. It is estimated that at least two more generations of xenozoologists will be needed to properly classify all the species of the planet. So that bureaucratic snafu is inevitably going to lead to more conflict on Watson, the more power struggles, more border disputes between the Chinese People's Federation, the United North American States, and the European Union. So can't wait to see where that goes. I don't think we actually have a population for that planet, despite all that. I'm looking at the wiki page for the planet card. I don't see it. I don't see a population listed. Oh, well. We'll just say that there's people there. That's Watson, the planet card, and you guys can clearly see why I picked that one. Okay, with that, let's get back to the rest of the show.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right, here we are in the second half of the show, and we've got some more riots, more protests to talk about. Cerberus Daily News says that these continue for at least another week, and that the Systems Alliance decision on Ford versus Huerta has sparked dozens more protests today all over Earth's United North American states. Incensed by the violence of the previous day, groups' sizes have doubled in major North American cities, reaching 4 million in Mexico City and spreading sister protests to Los Angeles, Toronto, and New York. The demonstrations were largely violence-free. The notable exception was Washington, D.C., where mobs' sheer numbers overwhelmed riot police. A video of citizens chasing police down Constitution Avenue has garnered over 900 million hits in the first 12 hours on the extranet site uploadednews.com.
Disclaimer, not a real website.
Okay, I was gonna ask, did you check? I was afraid to click the link, to be honest. That would have that would have been such a golden opportunity to Rickroll me.
Oh damn. I will use that in the future.
Yeah, you got it. So, okay, so huge protests now, doubled in size, Mexico City, LA, Toronto, New York. But all of those were pretty much peaceful, except for DC, where riot police were overwhelmed and apparently tucked tail running down Constitution Avenue. This is a huge moment in the United North American states' political history, because you have people that are essentially threatening to revolt, showing the police that they are outnumbered and they do not have the apparent mandate of the people. You remember what I said at the end of last episode, where I feel like a snap election would have solved a lot of this? I still feel that way, because who knows? Maybe there's actually more people who would prefer that Huerta is the president. They're just not going out to protest about it because they're happy about the court decision, right?
Right. There's definitely that. And then, of course, there is, you know, the population that can't go out to protest but still agree with the situation at hand. And we're obviously not getting all of the numbers, because we're only talking about a few of the key major cities and not everything that's going on throughout all three countries. I agree that having some form of election where democracy can reign, it would allow people to get their voices completely heard.
At the same time, even though I brought up that idea, I'm going to argue against myself. At the same time, Cerberus would be like, rubbing their hands at a chance for election interference, right? Election influence. Because undoubtedly, they would try to get involved in that. I mean, weren't they already involved in the assassination of one UNAS president?
And the Pope? I mean,
and the Pope? Yeah, so they would definitely have their hands in it. And who says that they don't have their hands in this? They could very well be using some kind of psyops to foment instability, to foment discontentedness among populations and trying to get them violent. Who knows? That's kind of like their MO. They kind of do that. They destabilize and then rule over the destabilizedness. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think what we have in front of us is a rapidly deteriorating political situation.
Absolutely. And the politicians are calling for an end because they don't want the rioting to happen. Because how do we feel about politicians, Sam?
And that's why I hate politicians.
You tell them, Ash.
Earth's politicians called for a stop to the rioting in the UNAS even as some of them praised the rebellious spirit of the protesters. Speaker of the House Lisa Ford toured the morning talk show circuit to make it clear that although she rejects the System Alliance's decision, there seems little choice but to abide by it. The people marching in the streets in my name are welcome to do so, she says. But we must categorically reject the violence that the System's Alliance oppressors use. Now that her day in court has come and gone, Ford admitted that there seem to be no other options.
Yeah, whatever. If Ford wins the next election, she'll just pardon those that got arrested and call them patriots, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Please go march in my name, even though it's not going to do anything. That's what she's saying.
Yeah. Of course, I'm making particularly pertinent jokes because not all politicians have the apparent decency that Lisa Ford does in saying, hey, you know, I support your cause, but we must abide by the ruling of the court. In fact, the current administration doesn't like to abide by court rulings that it doesn't agree with, which calls into serious question the co-equality of our governing branches here in the United States, which by itself destabilizes the legitimacy of government entirely. But that is why, in my opinion, Speaker Ford is saying this, that although she agrees with the cause, at the end of the day, the continuity of the United North American States is more important than her own legal argument.
Yes.
And you're like battling a cat over there.
I totally am. Anytime that I try to remove my hands to, you know, do anything, I'm being violently attacked. And Maya is choosing to riot tonight.
She's rioting. Yeah. Yeah. She's saying down with the zombie owner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's saying. Genesis, how do you feel about, because on the same note, you know, it's easy for politicians to call for a stop to the rioting and to kind of try to dictate how people protest because they're the ones in power, right? So, yes. Mm-hmm. so how do you feel about that? Even if it is like, you know, Ford here making the decent announcement to say, you know, not become a demagogue and say, you know, hey, yeah, riot in my name. You know, you're patriots. No one will stop you.
Yeah. So it's, I fully support the right to riot, the right to riot, and the right to have your voice heard. I've never been the biggest supporter of violence during riots, destruction of physical property.
Real quick, you do mean protests instead of riots.
Yes. Yes. Protesting. The words just get interchanged in my brain because I've attended both and I've been a part of both when it comes to real world situations. But no, being anything that involves violence or destruction of property, I don't get involved in because I don't feel like that's the best way for my voice to be heard. And I do like the fact that in the world of Mass Effect and reading through these stories, it seems like violence has been at a minimum. We didn't get any reported deaths during these situations. We didn't get, you know, we only got a handful of injuries on both sides. And I'm happy with that. I appreciate that. I also do like the fact that, yes, even though she probably didn't want to say it, Lisa Ford did say, you know, people marching, you can do it in my name, but I'm not supporting it fully. I'm not asking you to go out and do this.
You know, I've been making political jokes and commentary over the past couple episodes, but regardless of, you know, how you think of anything in real world events, it is pretty impressive that the writer who or writers who were working on this arc for Mass Effect called this the entire social dynamic, right? They called it like years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole controversial court decision, accusations of political partisanship inspiring the outcome, the ensuing massive protests afterward, the clashes with police, and police arguably escalating the situation, then the wronged party then going and telling their supporters that are out in the streets, okay, continue protesting, but no violence, right? That whole social dynamic, we have seen that over and over again for like the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
But this was written 16 years ago.
Wow. Time. Doesn't it just go right back around to the beginning again?
Right. Yeah. So props, honestly, props to the writer or writers who put this together for Cerberus Daily News Network. Now, I wish I could tell you guys, like, where this goes afterward, but Genesis, as far as we know, there is not another update from Cerberus Daily News, right?
No, there are no more further articles that I was able to easily locate involving Huerta. The next bit of information that we get is from the Mass Effect 3 when we are at the Huerta Memorial Hospital.
Yeah, yep. So all of this, hopefully, very good context for anyone going and playing through Mass Effect 3 and wondering about that conversation that you can overhear in Huerta, and whether or not it was a tactful decision to name the hospital Memorial Hospital when he's not actually dead.
And I guess that kind of brings us right back to the original thing. And now when I'm going to go back and listen to that conversation again, I'm going to have all of this additional information behind it. You know, I don't think that he's a zombie. I don't think that he's the undead. Those are specific supernatural characters that don't really exist in the real world. But is this VI inhabiting the human body of Huerta really the true Huerta?
Yeah, will the real Huerta please stand up? Please stand up.
Please stand up.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully everyone's enjoyed these past couple episodes. Like I said, this is going to be, you know, this was a shorter episode than we normally do, but we did double record this week just because we wanted to make sure people were getting their appropriate amount of Mass Effect content, even when we couldn't record last week due to some family emergencies. Genesis, next week we've got our patron chat, but what are you up to until then, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I still got my two other shows going on. The Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. And the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk. Did you know that my tagline for when I'm closing out those shows is that I am now co-host with N7 the Legend on the Mass Effect Lorecast, where we explore everything under the stars in the Mass Effect universe?
I love that tagline. Do you also hit your sound effect for me saying, here's your fucking spoiler alert?
I do that at the opening of every episode within the first 15, 20 seconds.
Hell yeah. That sound effect, that voice line will live on forever. All right. Well, I am full-time dadding it up right now. I am like dad to a very energetic and rambunctious toddler. That yawn was perfectly timed. The bags under my eyes are designer. The scratch mark on my chin is legitimate, and my son is pinching the hell out of my neck. So I am trying to find some time and energy. Energy is more like it to stream, but when I'm not doing the Lorecast and being a dad, I'm trying to play video games for me to maintain my sanity. I am still planning on going back to streaming at some point, just when I get a little bit more energy, a little bit more leeway. But yeah, follow me on Twitch. I haven't streamed since February, and it's April, and I know that people want me to stream, and I really do want to go back to streaming. And in fact, I might do it just with no camera. That makes things a little bit easier. And I'm of course also taking care of a puppy who, I forgot to tell you this, Aegon, my puppy, chewed up an entire magic deck of mine. Yeah, and it was a Fallout deck, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, he is in the doghouse. That was because I took my son upstairs to change his diaper. And when I came back down, that had been done. So, anyway, it's been exhausting. But that's all to say that we will see you next week during the patron chat. We're going to ask our patrons if they're cool doing it on Tuesday instead of Saturday. That way I can be there because I am taking off for about 5 days. I'm going to be in Kansas for a wedding. So that's all I got. That's all we got for this week, Spectres. Until next time, don't make any snap judgments based off of whether or not you perceive someone to be alive. I think that's probably some wise advice. Anyway, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.